All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. We have with us today the great, the one and only Robert Griswold of Ready Made Resources, one of the sponsors of the show. And we are going to talk about some training courses that he has coming up. We're going to talk about license to carry and why you need a license to carry insurance. We're also going to talk about some basic protective equipment like helmets, plate carriers, and gun belts. And then we're going to talk about the interruption on communications. And if we breeze through all that, we'll just have an open hour, see what we can talk about. Bob, man, I wish we had something interesting to talk about, but it's a little boring, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just, you know, the fall of Western civilization. I mean, you know, that's all it is. This is, you know, circa, you know, was it 400 AD when Rome fell? We're seeing it happen all over again. Anybody who doesn't know what's going on, that this is not something that when the next election is going to fix, people don't understand, you know, the real power in a government is the bureaucracy. And that you can't get rid of easily. They are so entrenched into this government, the bureaucracy. And if they don't want to do anything, they just put their feet down. It's so hard to fire somebody. And so they direct the show. The president and his people know that if they do something that the power structure doesn't like, they just won't implement it. They'll just do something different. And that's what we saw happen for 4 years under Donald Trump. Everything he wanted to implement that was good for America, good for individuals, you know, to empower individuals to make their position in life better financially. And as far as the state of the nation, the bureaucrats just absolutely put their feet in the ground and said, no, we're not going to do it. And on top of that, you know, all the conspiracy theories that now it's amazing. Whenever they say it's a conspiracy theory, I have to really think it's pretty much true. I was reading a news article before we came on, and they were talking about the 17, 18, 19 food distribution places that have burnt down over this year. And they said the conspiracy theorists are at it again. You know, telling it there's a conspiracy beside it. I'd like the mathematician to tell me what the odds and probability. They have methods to figure that. That's a bigger desk than mine. What are the odds and probability of that happening? But when they say conspiracy theory, remember, they called the Russia collusion conspiracy theory. They called Hillary Clinton's private email server that was handling top secret information in her house conspiracy. Hunter Biden's laptop was definitely conspiracy. Pedophilia, Jeffrey Epstein was conspiracy. Everything that they come out and call conspiracy has absolutely been proven to be true. So, you know, I take this, since they're calling this one news agency was calling it a conspiracy that, you know, there's something about it. They're trying to take our food away from us. Well, I mean, you've been wrong on every other conspiracy. So I think they're wrong on this. I think there is something behind this. You know, we see just a multiplicity of things happening right now between the shortages in production, the shortages in labor. Right now, just because the ports in Shanghai aren't working, they're not bringing anything out. It's good. In a month from now, you're going to feel the pinch in America because those ships aren't being loaded. It is a perfect storm coming. I mean, we're going to have a tornado, an earthquake, a hurricane, and hail coming at the same time, and forest fires. That's what's coming to America. And I mean that in metaphorically, you know, that's what we see coming. So when they start calling this stuff conspiracy theory, all they're trying to do is to quell the masses while they absorb as much as the product as they can via the recalls. Oh, the peanut butter's bad. Oh, this is bad. Oh, that's bad. They recall it and then it goes into somebody's bunker. Never do I ever read what happens to this. How do you dispose of this stuff? You know, I don't hear of anybody disposing of it. And at the same time, we just see, you know, the way the government would work. And you know this for sure, that the government's not going to go out and buy all this food and a government contract. They're going to set up shell corporations, ABC and A's going to buy it from B, B's going to buy it from C, C's going to sell it, or A's going to sell it to the government after it goes through that, so the government doesn't create some type of alarm among people that they're sucking a major portion of the hard assets or hard goods out of this economy so that they can be protected. They are using our tax dollars so that they can be in their bunkers, fed well, all their minions around them that do their laundry, do all the things. I saw somebody said, the politicians aren't going to eat Skippy peanut butter. Well, do you think the politicians are going to be there all by themselves doing their laundry, doing their ironing? No, they're going to have their people that they're going to feed the Skippy peanut butter to. Well, they have the really good stuff. And so that's the way it's going to work. And so they're absorbing all this out of the economy right now, all the food, all the hard stuff, the solar panels, night vision, all that. You let it be a war. I'm telling you, Doug, if there is a war, you are going to see shortages that are going to make World War II look like plenty. If anybody old enough to remember World War II, I remember seeing the little butter coupons. This time it'll be digital, and which would give them vast control of it. It'd be harder to buy and sell those digital authorizations to get butter or product, whatever it is, meat, butter, sugar. It's being taken out of the economy. There's sugar shortages right now. They're everything. 20 million chickens have died. So, the prices of eggs are going up. The price of chicken is going up. I see it across the board. When I go for the first time in 30 years of business, I see like Mountain House Foods having shut their dealer portal down completely. I have never, ever seen that. It's staggering. And then Augustin Farms, they say they're making as much food as they can make. I believe them, but I wonder who's buying it. Because you can't go on their dealer portal and buy it. And if you go to their website, everything says out of stock. If you go to Rainy Day Food, it's saying 6 to 8 weeks. How much more evidence do you need? And then at the same time, the government's buying it up for their bunkers. I have no doubt. I've actually talked to the people who've done it. They're buying millions of dollars worth of food, millions, tens of millions of dollars, and putting it away for themselves. And while they're calling you a conspiracy theorist for storing food and a hoarder, these people are the ultimate hoarders, because I hoard with my money. They hoard with my money. That's what they're doing. But I know we got off on a little bit of a tangent here, but I just tell people the time is short right now. Anybody can see this thing is coming unraveled at the seams. We have mocked God in every way we could mock God. And now I hate to quote Jeremiah Wright, but the roosters are, the crows, the chickens are coming home to roost. That's what's happening. All this vileness that we've perpetrated is coming home to roost with us right now. The deficit spending. I just saw a report that the government has secretly introduced $54 trillion into the economy. $54 trillion. I'll send you the story after I'm done. It's just, so we don't know, because they that's all classified now. We don't know how much money they're really pumping into the economy, but we know it's causing hyperinflation. And when you add the shortages from the wheat, the fertilizer, the shipping shutdowns from China, when you add all that up, it's gonna say shortages, food riots, and that's gonna precipitate a lot of crime. And that's what we can do. We are going to see crime explode. Nothing drives crime than hunger. We talk about crimes of passion. That's a big motivation, a crime of passion. But when your belly's hungry, when your children's bellies are hungry, people will do desperate things to get that taken care of. You can read the history of any civilization that has gone through a catastrophic event such as war. What they do to get food, they'll degrade themselves in any way they need to be degraded to get that food. And your mind can't think of it all, but it's there. So we're telling people now to get training. Because the window for this training, I'm always cautious of the government saying, you can't train anymore. There's shut down training facilities, because they don't want, people with understanding on how to do things. They want you dependent on them. That's the whole reason we see the Great Reset. You'll own nothing and love everything. Kumbaya. They don't want educated people. The whole school system is designed to make ignorant people. They don't know anything about history. Math is racist, so you can't learn 2 + 2 = 4 because that's racist if you say that. English, I mean, we don't know how to speak proper English anymore. We don't know how to punctuate sentences. The public school is turning out absolute morons. And, you know, we can see it in a lot of our leaders, like Kamala Harris, you know, that's, sorry. But
AOC is the perfect example.
She's good for one thing, a bad example, right?
Yeah.
but so as we see these shortages develop, Americans are going to become desperate because as BlackRock, the CEO of BlackRock said, you know, this generation today has never seen shortages, and they're going to go into the stores in the not too distant future, and they're going to be looking for things that they can't find. So they won't be able to have their favorite little cappuccino or whatever they get, and they're going to maybe have to settle for water or whatever, and they're not going to like it. And when I go and look, I've noticed that the meat section in the stores is getting smaller, meaning they don't have as much meat there, and the prices are going up. So they're actually consolidating it to make it look like it's all still there, but it isn't taking up the same space it used to take up because meat prices have soared. 20 million chickens have died. They put them to death. Again, that's another thing. What are they doing with these dead chickens? Are they processing them? Are they ending up in bunkers? What? I'd like to know. I was talking to a doctor the other night. He doesn't think there is a bird flu, of one that's really of any significant consequence, and that the government's using that as a conspiracy theory to sequester all this meat so they can put it in their bunkers and not have it here for the United States, the people of the United States. And again, at the same time, has anybody bought a dozen eggs lately? Go look and see what the price of those dozen eggs are. I mean, they've gone up dramatically. I remember you used to buy a dozen eggs. I mean, and just speaking for me, you could get them for less than $1.
Yeah.
And now you get good organic free range eggs and they're $6-$7 a dozen.
Yeah, and you know, being my family, you know, we have our own poultry business. We watch what's happening within the realms of poultry, and that also with beef. And I went to go buy two ribeyes the other day, just two basic ribeyes, $31 for a pack.
I know.
You know, I mean, and I remember back when it was $18, $20, you know, for decent steak. But because everything goes up, gas prices are going to go up, availability is going to go down, restrictions are going to come back. You're going to have to find a escape valve for the pressure upon the public. And, you know, bread and circus, more or less, the escape valve is going to be the midterm elections, and it's going to be whatever it is that happens in this country, and then also Ukraine.
Or Taiwan. Or yep. Iran, or south of the border right now. Colombia, I mean, MS-19 looks like they're on the verge of winning down there, which they said they're going to kick out all the Americans if they win. So we have hardcore communists, looks like they're developing, you know, a stronghold in Central America and South America. You know, we are being isolated right now, and people don't know it because they don't know what history, they've never learned history. In the United States, we don't know any of the history of our founder, the Civil War. We don't teach it anymore. But I can see it so clearly. I mean, even Saudi Arabia now says they're going to take, you know, Chinese yen for oil. Israel, I think it was $200 billion that they're going to reserve in Chinese yen. I mean, one of our staunchest allies, because they see the writing on the wall. They see the destruction of the dollar. And ladies and gentlemen, when that happens, you're not going to get anything. I mean, your paycheck's going to be worthless. It'll be Weimar Germany all over again. And then they're going to use that to force the digital currency, have to give up everything. It's coming. The thing to do right now is to plan ahead. I mean, Noah didn't wait to put food on the ark. He built the ark, but he was also very logistically sound in putting food, water, and storage on the ark. Joseph did the same thing. I always tell people, just imagine the logistics of storing enough food to feed millions of people for 7 years. He did that. You know, you can, and I'm sure at that time there were probably people that looked at Joseph saying, man, what does he know that I don't know? I think I'm going to store some food in my house.
I think they called him fake news.
Joseph was a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it was. But again, The point is that as we see this happening, in fact, I saw this a video of this lady. She went into a Walmart and just took a shopping cart and piled it high with meat. I mean, it was just packed completely, towering over the top, and just walked out the door with it, didn't pay for it, opened her trunk in her nice car. I mean, it wasn't a piece of junk car. It was a nice car, and just started throwing all this high expensive meat in there. Well, the manager could do was she videoed it. She didn't even care. She didn't care that she was on camera. She just drove off.
Depending on the state, as long as it was under $999, they're not going to arrest her for it.
Well, I'll tell you, if meat prices are anywhere like they are around here, that shopping cart was probably 2 feet above the brim of the cart, piled with expensive meats. But again, they don't do anything. So what happens? It just emboldens other people to do it. Yep. I was talking to a federal law enforcement agent one time, just a friend, and he was telling me, there's a certain percentage. I forgot what it was, but it was very low. Less than 1%, when people get away with crime, when a crime pays, then the society is lost. Because once I see, Doug, you can go rob a bank and nobody does anything to you, I'm going to go rob the bank. Nothing happens to me. And if I'm a protected class in this country, of somebody who's protected, then I really can rob the bank. And then everybody sees that. And the society just unravels at the seams. Well, from the top down right now, we see our leaders looting the country. Does anybody go to jail? Does Hunter Biden, does Joe Biden, does Hillary Clinton, does Kerry, all these people that have gone into Ukraine and all over the world and raped it, stolen American secrets, do any of them go to jail? They're robbing the bank. They've robbed the bank of the Treasury of the United States. They don't go to prison. And so everybody sees that and it starts trickling down. I mean, Joe Biden just allowed, gave $100 billion in student loans. I mean, people see it. And the next thing you know, when it breaks down, it's going to really break down because people have seen lawlessness reigns. Case in point, and I'm going to try to keep this friendly. There was a story on Revolver the other day of these four East Asian men who did something to a monitor lizard, all of them. And then they cooked it and ate it after they got done doing what they did. Now, imagine those people. And these aren't just because they're East Asian people. There's white people in this country that do that kind of thing. Imagine when the rule of law breaks down. If they're going to do that now, they're going to do that. Imagine what they're going to do when the rule of law breaks down. And this is going again, why we need to carry a gun, why we need to be trained. And, I've already made resources. We've actually now networked with Brush Beater, Matt Everett, and Stuck Pig Medical and others to teach training courses. We have a fighting carbine course coming up. If you go to brushbeater.org, you can sign up for it. But it's a two-day fighting carbine course, which is, it's a load of fun to do it. You learn a lot. You get the camaraderie of people that have like mind, and the classes are small, so you get really good training. It's not like you're doing 15, 20 people. You have a small class, and so you're getting really nice training of how to effectively carry and use your carbine. And you're doing transition drills from carbine to pistol, pistol to carbine, jam drills, tap rack fire. So if you get a jam, how to clear that and get back in the fight quick. You, all those real practice drills, because I'm telling you, when this thing comes apart, I just see criminals absolutely going to shopping centers and waiting for people to come out. Oh, there's the lady driving the BMW. That's the target. And I'll tell you, this is easy to do. And I warn people that there's devices like this out there. You can buy them. And all I have to do is be near you when you push your key pod. I'll capture that signal. When you're going into the store, I captured it. When you're coming out of the store, criminals can block that thing from working. They can open your trunk, open your doors. They can prevent you from getting in, so you won't have the security of your car. And these devices are readily available.
That's right. And people think this is like James Bond sci-fi type of stuff. It's right there almost at Amazon level where you can purchase some of them.
But you can buy that from Amazon.
Yeah.
You can buy it off Amazon. And people are making videos showing you how to do it. And they're up there on the web. And I want to say, you know, that's highly criminal behavior. But people don't mind anymore. How to jam block radio signals so that your key pod doesn't work.
Well, here's the thing about training. You know, I'm a very big training advocate. I try to train people as much as I can on anything that I can think of, because it's never bad to learn.
No.
And while people negate training, the enemy, the bad guy, the crimes, perpetrators of crimes are training. Now, we knew with Antifa that they were going to Syria to train with ISIS.
Yep.
We knew they were going to Mexico, and they'd go to Mexico, they train from the cartel. What do you think they did when they came back to America?
Dude, they're going to Ukraine to learn how to train.
That's right.
Well, they don't care about the Ukrainian government at all. They just want to get in the fight to learn how to fight.
The originator of Antifa comes from Eastern Europe. So, you know, this whole mindset of the socialism, communism takeover, and the validity of the threat to that, it goes over people's heads because it doesn't involve their daily person. And I try telling this to people all the time. You live in a constant state of war. You just haven't seen the war zone yet. You know, every time you go outside your door, you walk into a potential fight. You walk into a potential gunfight, regardless of whether or not you're prepared for it or you believe in guns or not. It does not stop the crime. That crime also will invite itself into your house.
Yes, it will.
So
home invasions.
That's right.
If you appear to be a person with means, if you're driving that BMW, this is why it's important to learn how to do this. We have another course coming up, intelligence gathering and tradecraft. How to detect what an SDR, surveillance detection route. How do you do that? How do you know if you're being followed? There are ways to know if you're being followed, how to lose a tail. If you're being followed, because if you're driving that big BMW and you're coming out there and people see that, you are a mark and they'll follow you to your home. And if you're sitting there playing around, listening to music, thinking about whatever, you're not going to know that somebody's following you behind you. And then all of a sudden you drive up to 123 Main Street, they log that, and then they start doing surveillance on your home. It's not hard to do surveillance on a home to make it if you live in a neighborhood. Now, if you live in a gated community, it can be harder, but they can still track incoming and goings. And so, you know, you will become a victim and you don't even know that you could have prevented that victim by just being aware how to determine coming in different routes, you know, switching things around, changing your patterns of life. And people, we are creatures of habit, and those habits can kill us. I come in the same way every time. I leave the same time. I come home the same time. I stop at the same 7-Eleven and get my same cup of coffee every single day. That's a creature of habit. That's an easy victim ready to happen. And as crime and this economy falls apart, we're going to have to learn to be more aware of it than that, because these devices are everywhere. And it doesn't take a lot of training to learn how to use a device like this. And this device is, I mean, I'm staggered. It's even legal, but you can legally buy them. And, you know, we want to teach people how to prevent you becoming a victim of an electronic jamming signal that jams your car so you can't start it. And then all of a sudden you're surrounded and everything you have is gone. Maybe you might even be abducted.
Yeah. And the easiest part of that training is to always constantly remind people of situational awareness. Like that's your first defense, is your own situational awareness. If you're in your car, and you go to park somewhere, you look straight, left, right, rear, and you check to see if anyone's watching you.
And up and down.
Yep. Nine times out of ten, when you pull in a Walmart, when you go to look around, you'll catch at least one person looking at you. Mm-hmm. We all do it. Yeah. You know, but we do that. Oh God, you know, we made eye contact and it's awkward, typically. But then you'll have the people who are just, you know, they're just watching you. You know, I'm one of those people. I will sit there and just watch people. I will randomly pull into a parking lot just to watch people, just to see the reaction, you know, because I want to see just how complacent people are. And the only problem is bad guys do that. Yeah.
Yeah. We've taught these classes before. We've actually brought people down to a mall and just sat there and just watched those who just come and go out in oblivion. They're not thinking about anything. And the, you know, the proverbial, this buried your face in this, you know, the time is coming. I think, Dave, I mean, Doug, in the next few months, we're going to see this crime thing accelerate, more and more crimes of people just going into stores, stealing stuff because they're hungry. Their budget no longer meets the needs. They'll profile people coming in and out. Obviously, if you're driving a 1968 car with rusted fenders and, you know, non-matching tires and, you know, blowing smoke out the back, they're going to realize that's probably not the guy we want. But if you're coming in there driving in a BMW, in nice clothing, you know, maybe a nice ring on your finger, nice, you know, fancy watch, they're gonna pay attention to that stuff, and you'll be the mark. And then, and if they use electronic means against you, jam you out of your car, you'll be pushing that little key thing, and it won't go off, and won't open your doors. Boy, if that happens, do not hang around. Go right back inside the store. Just go right inside because you're a target of an electronic jamming. And it is going to happen more and more.
Here's a training tip that I actually give to women, and they typically don't think about it. If I was a bad guy and I wanted to abduct somebody or rob somebody, I'm going to pay attention to anyone who's in high heels, because that tells me automatically you don't know how to fight on your heels, most likely, and you're not prepared for the fight.
Yeah. You know, it is. Dressing feminine. I mean, with dress and stuff like it's all, it's, you know, people are going to profile you, and you are. I mean, it is. It's just something I do. I do the same thing. I'll sit there and just look at people, profiling them, and just saying easy, hard, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a victim. That's not a victim.
You learn to do it. You know, it's nothing. We're not talking about anything in malice. You just learn to, find threat indicators on people and weak spots.
Yeah, if I see jailhouse tattoos on somebody, not like the like you have, that was professionally done, but you can tell jailhouse tattoos. You know, all of a sudden, if I see Granny over there and I see a jailhouse tattoo, boy, I know who I'm going to be watching. You know, it just goes with the territory. I'm going to make a threat assessment. It's called OODA loop: observe, orient, decide, and act. You know, that's the whole thing. You have to keep your observation open, watching your six. And you know, it's not easy. Here's the thing I can tell you, it's a training exercise if you want to do it. Get two people and watch a movie, any movie. Now, you know, if you want to watch Chuck Norris beat somebody up, that's fine. Because the center of that movie is what you are geared to watch. You want to see Chuck Norris, you know, busting somebody in the snot locker, or you want to see the guy kissing the girl. That's what the movie means for you to see. And life is like that. We are creatures. We focus in on something. We have a task. We want to focus in on it. So we ignore all the peripheral. Watch a movie. Have somebody take notes. Okay, what time of day was it when James Bond walked into that building? Well, you see the shadows casting. I mean, start looking at the world like that. How much was the gas station he drove by? I remember, I think it's in Goldfinger, it's like 27 cents a gallon. You can actually see it on the gas station when he drives past the gas station. You know, have somebody taking notes like that as you're watching the movie, and it'll train you not to look at what you're supposed to look at and to keep your eyes on the peripheral, because nobody wants to come at you forward. The frontal attack is the most costly attack you can do. It's always from the flanks. Criminals know that. They approach you from the sides. And so when you train yourself to keep that, you know, in your viewpoint, you keeping your head moving, you become, somebody's going to notice you're doing this. They're going to notice you're doing that. And they're going to say, that guy, he's going to be a harder victim. If you, again, versus just walking around doing nothing. And then again, the course we're teaching, I think it's the 17th and 18th of July. It's actually intelligence gathering and tradecraft. How to determine if you're being followed, how to counter that. A lot of really neat stuff. How to use glass as your benefit to know if you're being trailed. All kinds of techniques that you can do to keep yourself safe in an environment. Best times to travel, best times not to travel. You know, I mean, obviously, if you're a single female, going out at night is far more dangerous than going out during the day. Especially if you're attractive. So you just things like that. That's why the training is so important. And on top of that, we were talking before the program. I mean, okay, so you ever have to get to where you need one of these things and you've discharged it and shot somebody, okay? I don't care what they're doing. You're going to face three battles. You could come up and they could be, you know, a knife wound, whatever. They threaten you with a knife, whatever they've done. You have three battles you have to win. And this is what most people don't understand. They just think that the cops are going to come in and say, okay, yeah, he pulled a knife and you shot him. Yeah, that's good. Go home and, you know, eat a bowl of ice cream. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have three battles you fight. First is the criminal battle. It's going to go not only through the police, but you could have a very liberal DA. You could have a liberal DA that has Antifa, you know, favors Antifa, favors BLM. And it just so happens, if it is, like, I would have shoot a black guy or somebody that's like, all of a sudden, even though to me it was not political at all, I don't want to shoot anybody. But, you know, if it just happened to be where the perpetrator of a crime against me was a person of color and I shoot them, all of a sudden a whole political environment develops. Just ask Carl Rittenhouse, you know, although, you know, I never understood how he's a racist when a white guy shoots white people. I never did figure that one out, you know, especially when he was defending people of color. The car business he was defending with people of color. But you're going to have, first of all, you have the criminal battle, not only with the police, but the DA, public opinion, all of that. Okay. Second is a civil battle. So the police have said it was justified. Nothing prevents the victims, the mother, the father, the uncle, the nephew, the third cousin, the 16th cousin, whatever, from coming and trying to sue you because you killed that person. And so there's a civil suit that follows. And then the other thing is, and we don't look at this very often, but, you know, as a Christian person, I would think I've just taken a life. I've just shot somebody and killed them, taken away everything they had. And some people have a very hard time with that. So you have an emotional battle to fight. For the rest of your life, you have to realize that I put a bullet between somebody's running lights and ended it. This is why I strongly recommend. I use USCCA. I think NRA offers it. You mentioned somebody. I'll speak from experience. USCCA, United States Concealed Carry Association. I use their platinum one. It gives me $2 million worth of protection. It breaks down lawyers' fees, civil suits, emotional counseling. It's all included in that. And it's like $1.50 a day. To get this. And I'm telling you, if you're carrying a firearm and you don't have that insurance, I mean, you're living in forest fire country and your house isn't insured.
And you're going to lose your gun.
Yeah. Not only that, but you're going to lose a lot, possibly your freedom, because USCCA will hire an attorney that knows about gun crime and how to defend people who've used justified use of force. They know they have attorneys on call that will come and defend you. And that's all included in that insurance package. So that's why I recommend, you know, people, I couldn't even imagine being without it. I just couldn't. No more than I can imagine driving without car insurance or house insurance.
And we're not sponsored to say any of this. This is completely professional advice, because in White Settlement, Texas, out near Fort Worth, is not far from me. There was a member of the church security who had to fire upon somebody who was in there as an active shooter. And, luckily put it right in the tee box. The guy went and lights out. But even though he had killed another person in the church, another member of the security, who, by the way, and we're not armchair quarterbacking anything. But based off of how I remember it, he was going for his pistol. He had to clear his coat to go for his pistol. All right. Here's the problem. With our train of thought, we are always fighting reaction time. Always fighting reaction time. Even within law enforcement. It's the reason why we have our pistol belts with the holsters set right here, the way it's set, because this thing is not going to move at all. Now, if you have a shaky, jinky kind of a holster, especially if it's a cheap neoprene or leather, you try to get that thing out quick, fast, and in a hurry, it's going to catch on you, especially if you don't train on it, on your draw stroke. That was the issue here at White Settlement. So one man got killed by a shotgun blast, but the man who killed the active shooter is still facing a lot of lawsuits civilly from this guy's family. Right. It took him over a year just to be cleared by the city DA, and the shoot was good. The police department said the shoot was good, but the city DA said, well, even though we know that, you know, you stopped the shooting, we're still going to go through with the prosecution and we're going to let it go out and a grand jury. And because that's the way Texas does it now. So you're going to go to a grand jury. You're going to spend minimum $40,000 to $50,000 in court just to go to a grand jury, just to be found innocent, even though everybody in this process knows you're going to be innocent. They're going to drag you through it, and you're going to pay for the court fees. You're not going to get reimbursed for it unless you countersue the family. And again, have fun doing that.
Which is more lawyer's fees, countersuing.
That's right. And here's the thing. The family sued him. Guess who also sued him? Members of the church. Yeah. Three or four members of the church sued him.
I want to say something else. You notice his firearm. Okay. I don't have Zombie Slayer on it. Nope. You know, it's something like that. So, you know, I see these people with this like skull and crossbones, Zombie Slayer, whatever. You know, just imagine I'm the prosecuting attorney. I say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, look at this gun, Zombie Slayer. He's just waiting to go kill somebody. And, you know, you're going to convince some of those people that that's exactly what you're trying to do. You don't want a tricked out gun with a pound and a half trigger and as a concealed carry weapon. You don't want all kinds of, you know, things like that on, you know, nomenclature on your gun. You want a standard issue, non-adjusted firearm, factory set firearm. That's what you want. You start messing with the trigger. Go ahead.
You don't want skulls on it. You don't want anything on it. It needs to be a out of the box gun. Now, someone like me and Bob, you know, we wear glasses, right? Having a red dot sight. Why would you have a red dot sight on there, Mr. Griswold? Well, I have to have glasses. So a red dot sight helps me know where that bullet's going so I can be accountable for my rounds. Because if you don't know this, you are accountable for every single bullet that comes out of your gun. You're also accountable for every punch, for every slash from a knife, and everything that you hit somebody with. You will be accountable for it. So you have to be able to prove why you did the use of force that you did, even as a civilian.
And this is why
use of force continuum.
This is why NRA has it. You mentioned another one. We're not getting paid to mention these people, USCCA.
Lawman carry.
Okay. That's why I carry the insurance, because I realize it could bankrupt you. And it probably would bankrupt most Americans if they had to have any court fees at all. But as soon as, you know, if I'm involved in a shooting, there's a little card USCCA gives you, you pull it out and you have one little statement. Officer, I feared for my life. I used the force necessary to end the threat to my life. And other than that, I'm not going to say anything, because when you've done that, you have massive amounts of adrenaline flowing through your body. The way your brain operates in what they call caveman brain is different than it operates normally. And so you will be operating in caveman brain, survival brain, after you've shot somebody, unless you're a complete sociopath. And that you might say things that you won't even remember you said them. So it's best just to make a quick statement to the police, because in that case, the police are not your friend. Just to make a quick statement, my life was endangered and I used that force necessary to end that danger. Now, you don't walk after they're down on the ground, you don't walk over top of them and shoot them a few more times. You know, you end the force, you end the threat. And that's it. And you don't talk to the police. Don't talk to the police.
That's right. You don't
talk to your lawyer.
You don't say that I killed them or I murdered them. You said I stopped the threat.
Yes,
right?
I stopped the threat.
even in law enforcement, we're trained to say that because words will and can be used against you in a court of law.
They will be.
The reason why we're talking about this is because as times get worse, it's important that you have a license to carry. And it's important that you legally carry that firearm. All right. If you live in a state like mine in Texas where you can constitutionally carry, you are still highly liable for anything that happens. And there are still repercussions for you having that weapon depending on where you go. But if you have a license to carry, you have a step up. And here's the other thing. Just like knives, and Bob, I'm sure you'll agree with me on this. Just like with knives, a weapon is meant to be felt. It's not to be seen. Unless you're in battle, unless it's a war, then whatever, you know. But if we're talking about every day, we don't want you to be able to show anybody that you have a weapon on you. Okay, even though you have a gun on you, doesn't mean you're going to lose a fight. All right, there are a lot of people who have guns on them, completely afraid to use them because they don't want the political repercussions that come with it. But I would strongly implore you that if you have a license to carry or if you want a license to carry, like in Texas, download stuff like this, go to your state website, find out where you can carry, what the laws are, what the advantages of carrying are. And, you know, people have messaged me, Bob, saying, well, I don't want to get a license to carry because I don't want the government to know anything about me. Look, man, they're going to know anything about you if you buy a car, right? If you go and apply for a loan, they're going to know something about you.
Websites you visited. You're going to a website that's a gun-favorable website, a politically favorable. There's so many ways that you can be analyzed anymore, unless you are absolutely a hermit that lives out in the woods. And even then, you're profiled because I can tell what I know a lot about you because you don't belong to society.
Right.
So get over it. It's like ham radio license. I don't want the government to know I have a ham radio license. Well, then you can't practice with your ham radio.
It's better to have it now. It's better just to have it now instead of needing it, you know, and trying to fist fight your way out of a gunfight.
Another thing is when I carry this open carry so people can see it, and all of a sudden I'm getting an altercation. I put my hand on the gun, touch it, whatever, and somebody's videotaping that. That could be absolutely described as brandishing a firearm. And brandishing a firearm is considered a felonious crime. You know, that's saying you will listen to what I'm saying. You know, so you've got open carry and you're putting your hand on your gun. That's a threatening act. That is highly threatening. And so don't let people know you have it. Keep it concealed. Keep your hands off of it, you know. But anyhow, I think this is really good stuff. I don't think we plan to take it this way, but I think it's really good stuff people need to know. But
you know,
we are seeing the breakdown of our society. Crime is paying. You know, we were talking about this. I have this. And believe me, many times I live on the 40 acres. I've had to go out at night and see why my dogs are barking. This is night vision. I just got word, yes, that these right here, the power supplies that go on the tubes, I got my retainers on it, I take them off, the power supplies that go on these tubes for night vision, there's going to be 12 to 18 months to get new ones. So that means I think there's going to be a real drying up of night vision. One of my major suppliers just told me that on Friday. That get what you can get now, buy it wholesale, what you can get, because we could be seeing a 12 to 18 month window where people won't have the ability to buy night vision. You've used this. I've used it. I can literally, my dogs are barking and I need to go outside and see what they're barking at. I can go outside, turn all my lights off, walk out the door, and boy, oh boy, I see everything. Yeah, Flare Scout.
Here's another thing. Yep. Flare Scout. Guess what people are getting killed by right now in Ukraine? Thermals.
Yeah.
Here's a good quote for you. All right. Have a thermal or get killed by somebody with a thermal.
Exactly. And if you can afford both, I can tell you, if you can afford both, night vision and thermal make a perfect marriage together, because there can be at times when you're in the jungle, the woods, or whatever, that's very dark, rainy. We've done these scenarios. We've where it's been dark, foggy, rainy, and the people have gone in, you know, you have team on team, and they've gone in and bedded really well, and the night vision's not going to see them well. But I'm telling you, we had a situation where Jamie was doing, he's our squad leader, and man, we pulled out that thermal, and there they were. They'd done really a good job, covered themselves with leaves, twigs, embedded themselves, so you could not see them with the night vision, but you put that thermal on them, they were like hot pancakes laying there. Right. And you know, so thermal and night vision together, but it's just disappearing. More and more Americans are buying it because they understand the tactical advantage it gives them. But at this time, especially if we go to war, I know the UN, I think what I heard was that they just spent $1.5 billion buying the Photonis night vision for the Ukraine. Those new units now, they've gone up $400 in cost. And I think most of the major suppliers right now are saying 4 months out. And yeah. 4 months right now is an eternity. We don't know what the world's going to look like in 4 months from now. So if you can at all afford it, if you have a group and can afford it, if you have a family and all have to pull together to get a pair of night vision or thermal, I'm telling you, you better get it because the zombies come out at night. That's when they're going to start attacking people. They're going to use the cover of night towards the advantage, and they think they're going to have the advantage.
And this FLIR Scout, you can get this on Amazon. This $500,
$600. We have them in stock.
Yep, that's right.
I have that exact unit.
This is what stays on my vest. Now, we were going to get into this, so you know, we got about 8 minutes left, so let's break down some gear real quick for people. Why is it that the average person needs to have any type of gear, all right? Between a helmet, between a vest, any type of belts, it's always good to have gear on you no matter what. And especially if you have it to where you can stow it in a vehicle. You never know when you may need it. Now, this is the belt that I carried when I was a federal police officer in DHS. This was my belt that I had for a long, long time. This belt saw a lot of deployments, a lot of riots. Now I'm a cool guy, so I put a big fancy knife on it. But, you know, hey, tourniquet. Always having tourniquets. You want to know why? Because if you have any laceration that you have, you know, between the brachial artery or the femoral artery, you got between 45 seconds and 17 seconds to apply one of these tourniquets. And don't get the cheap ones. Get the soft tees, the SWATs. You get that rat's tourniquet, you're going to bleed out and you're going to bleed to death and die. And dying's not cool. So here's another thing. With my belt, I've always trained myself to have a fixed blade behind it. Yep. Just for the pure necessary needs to have a standoff or back off weapon. If someone goes for my gun, I entrap their arm so that they can't do anything, and I pull this little guy out, and I push you off of me, you know, and if need be, physically. Here's another gun belt that I use. Very simple, basic belt. The only holsters I will use between T-Rex Arms and Safariland is a Safariland ALS. That's what we were issued for the last 10 years. These holsters are probably the number one best holsters in the world for a reason. They're a level 2 holster. So right here is the little button that helps you access the firearm. And I mean, I can get sub-second shots because of this holster. This holster is number one. And the only, and I, this is just me, Bob, I'm very partial. The only pouches I will use, and I've used them for at least 5 years now, are S-Tac pouches. They're cloth on the outside, so they're quiet. They're Kydex, and it's a pinched Kydex. So I could put my ammunition in here, turn my belt upside down, and shake it. And there have been plenty of times where stuff like that's happened, and they won't fall out.
It's not lanyards holding your magazines in, which that's 1980s technology.
That's right.
1990s technology. You want those retaining back. You can actually get the aftermarket ones. You can actually slip into your AR-15 or M-16 pouches that actually do that. It's a compression tension that holds it in there. And so you're not having to take seconds to try to pull a lanyard out so you can get a magazine out. Because as they say in a gunfight, it's a half a second that saves your life. You just said something, sub-second shots. You know, the average idiot on the street can pull a gun and shoot you in a second and a half. That's if why you can get sub-second or one, even 1 second shots.
That's why you train with
beat the guy who's going to put lead on you.
That's why you train with a shot timer.
Yep.
You know, they're about $150, $200, depending on what you're buying. This is a crucial piece of gear. This is a very, very crucial piece of gear, because if I want to measure how fast I'm coming out of the holster, and, you know, it's not necessarily I'm training for accuracy with speed. I marry the two together. But if I want to train for that sub-second, I have to have this. And you can program this. There's all different types of ways that you can program this. This is what we did all of our qualification shootings with for firearms. We had to use this. We were, you know, at the 1 yard range, you know, we're training with one round shot in 1 second, two round shots in 1 second, three shots in 2 seconds. Get the average citizen out there who says they're a gun nut to even do that and hit the target center mass. It's not that easy. Cops screw it up all the time. But even once you start to back things up away from the target and you put yourself on a timer, things get really hard. All right. People get nervous at the time.
Add movement to that equation. Because if you're just standing there like a paper target, you're going to get shot like a paper target.
That's right.
You need to get off that X and move.
That's right.
Because a moving target is exponentially harder to hit, especially a fatal shot. If you're standing still, it's easy for me to shoot you in the heart.
Yep.
If you're moving and shooting, it's a lot harder to get that heart shot or the head shot to stop you. So just keep that in mind. You know, a moving shot is a lot harder, and that's why you need to train. Anybody who's not training you with movement involved is not really effectively training you. If you're just sitting on a, you know, 10-foot line or 15-foot line and you're not moving, then you're not being effectively trained. You have to learn, because there's a cadence, you know it, with how your feet and how your trigger pulls to make sure that your firearm stays on target. And if you're putting these big steps down, your gun's going to drop every time you put your foot down. You have to learn how to shoot in the correct sequence to your foot movement, and that takes practice.
Here's the next thing, a plate carrier. This is a Spiritus Systems plate carrier. I also used to have a Faro Concepts, but I ended up giving that away. But Spiritus Systems, I absolutely love their gear. They don't pay me to say this. I buy their gear. I wear their gear because I know it's real and I know it's good. It's not going to fall apart on me. It's made in America. This will get you in and out of what you need. Also, plates. I used to wear level 4 plates or E-Sappy plates, you know, and I'm an extra large in my plates. So, you know, one plate's about 9 to 12 pounds, 24 pounds of body armor, and then you put a couple of these on here. So next thing you know, you're 40 pounds in armor. You know, your helmet. Yeah, that's right. Your helmet's going to be about 2 or 3 pounds, depending on what it is. Then you're going to have a rifle that's going to be with the optic and all the cool stuff that's on it. You're looking at 10 pounds. Pounds equal pain. The heavier you are, the heavier it's going to be 2 to 3 hours later. All right. So my plates, they're from Safariland, but these plates are half a pound piece. So, I mean, I could take them and flip them in my hand like a ball cap, and they're level 3+. So they'll handle 5.56, they'll handle 308, they'll handle 7.62. They're great plates. Here's another thing, having good GP pouches. I keep all different types of little stuff, you know, random stuff inside these pouches. This is a Haley Strategic chest rig. I absolutely love Haley Strategic, not just the fact because he's a Marine. But this gear, this exact one, I wore this for the last 5 years while in DHS and for the last 4 years on a specialized team, especially just doing riot stuff. Here's another thing people don't think about, Bob. You see this? That is going to protect my stomach and my groin. You want to know why? Get shot in the groin and then go and fight your war. Tell me how that goes for you.
Well, you're going to bleed out in no time.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorite places to shoot during competitions. You know, I love the hip girdle shot. Because if you want to run back and forth, you're going to get shot in the groin. And I'm either going to shatter your groin, I'm going to burst your femoral artery, I'm going to burst your fruit. One way or another, I won the gunfight. Yeah. But people don't think about that because body armor protects here. So within the realms of military and law enforcement, why do we do two to the chest, one to the head? Two to the chest to knock you back, one in the head because you weren't expecting it or you weren't wearing something like that, like a helmet. Training's important. Having all this gear is important. But training is more important. There's a bunch of gun nuts out there on YouTube. One of my most favorite guys to watch is a guy named Grand Thumb. He's awesome. He's hilarious. But he says something all the time, and I'm going to echo it. You can have all this fancy stuff you want, but if you don't train, you're going to suck the day a gunfight happens. If you don't go out and physically train and get in shape, you're not going to make it to the gunfight. You're probably going to die before you get there.
Well, you will. I mean, that's what a lot of people going to Ukraine have done that. But
that's right.
You know, I always love Grand Thumb. I remember when he said, it's not about the gear. It's not about the training. It's about looking cool.
That's, you know, right.
That's what a lot of people think.
That's you right.
know, I see people show up with this junk gear, you know, and it's just like, you think you're going to use that stuff? No, you're not. You got to go out and buy yourself something reputable.
Here's the thing, and once again, I'm not paid by anybody to say this, so I can slander anybody I want. A lot of these vests that you see out there that people buy, cops don't wear that. Cops don't wear it. The military doesn't wear it. Buy what cops in the military wear. There's a reason why we do that. We don't buy the cheap helmets. We don't buy the cheap body armor because it just doesn't work well.
As we finish up, I just want to go over something. Let's just do a little quick intel giving. Rail shortages of fertilizer. The wheat and the fertilizer are now being sequestered and they're being distributed according to what the government wants to do. Fertilizer, wheat. Corn has gone up $8 a bushel for the first time. And I forgot it was a while. Georgia has declared a state of emergency because of shortages. With Shanghai's port shutting down, a lot of the goods that we get from China are going to not come here. And so give it 30 days or so, and you're going to notice more shortages. Can you imagine the food Karens are going to show up, Doug? You know, remember the mask Karens? My God, he doesn't have a mask on. And they just shame you into us. Well, when you've got that extra pack of hot dogs in your car, can you imagine what the food Karens are going to do?
Yep. Hey, and not to mention, we're coming on summer, and it's already happening from the Northwest to Arizona, California, New Mexico, and in Texas and Colorado, wildfires.
Yeah, and then baby formula.
That's right.
Baby formula. And just on my end, as Ready Made Resources, I've run this business since 1995. I have never seen this before. Even during Y2K or 9/11, there were shortages because the demand was high. Well, the demand is high now, but the product isn't there and the labor's not there to make it. So again, we expect night vision shortages, grain mills. I'm just telling you, they're hard to get. Solar panels. My solar panel company just told me that because we sell them, that unless you're selling an entire system, we're not going to sell you solar panels anymore, just a la carte. obviously the food. Mountain House has shut down their dealer portal. August, everything on their stock, rainy day food, 6 to 8 weeks out. So food's disappearing. The radios, we're waiting to get radios in from China. Again, that's where most radios come from. You had water filtration, pressure cookers. And we just talked to the people who make Wisconsin aluminum pressure cookers. They said they're a year out now. I have to order now for what I get in a year from now. Well, in a year from now is an eternity. So again, there's two sides to this. One, you better stock up. Two, you have to understand there's a lot of people that aren't going to stock up, and you're going to need to defend what you have, because if you have means and people know you have means, believe me, when they get desperate, they will come a knocking. The zombies will come out and everybody turns into a collectivist. It's not fair. You need to share. No, I don't. No, I don't need to share. I might give you something, but I don't have any compunction to share with you at all. None. You were foolish. You were foolish. And you went and spent your money on things that you didn't need. Well, I scrimped. I didn't go on expensive vacations, and I put food away for my family. Yeah, tell me how I need to share.
That's right. Yep. And we're about to close out, Bob. Everyone, please check out Ready Made Resources. Contact Bob Griswold if you need any help with prepping. Also, contact him if you're interested in any of the training venues. I strongly suggest the radio classes, especially the long gun classes. I'm going to be there for the long gun class in June, correct?
Yeah, July.
July. All right, so I'm going to be there for that. So if you want to meet me, we'll be there, and you know, we can share a few rounds of shots on target. But my final piece of advice for people before we let you go: dry fire with your weapons. Dry fire with your weapons all the time. That means no ammunition inside the magazine and a empty gun, but dry fire with your weapons 100 times a day.
There are people that don't check their guns when they try to dry fire, and they put a hole in their TV set or that's somebody right. else. Practice that trigger reset. Practice that trigger reset all the time. So anyhow, yeah, they can call me at 800-627-3809. I'd be glad to talk to them. If you're interested in Nods or Thermal, we've got it in stock. We've got that little unit you just showed. It's in stock.
Here.
Yep.
All right, folks, we're going to let you go. Bob, thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.